whatever you're doing, there's all these subconscious things that are happening you're not thinking about because you're not focused on it. And those subconscious things are truly driving the bus the great majority of time. And only focused on 5%. Controlling that 5% and pushing hard, you will get a certain amount of success.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to the How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs podcast with Brad Chandler and my guest, Dave Lundgren. How are you, Dave?
Doing well. How you doing, Brad?
Dude, I'm awesome every day, but I'm really awesome today because I've picked up your book and read it, and I am so freaking excited to talk about the content today because it's so much in my heart and has been for the last 20 months since I went through my transformation. So I'm going to hit you with a banger right off the bat.
Sure.
With all the advances in medicine and technology, why is Western medicine failing so many people from both a physical pain mentality and a mental standpoint? Why, when we have all these answers, why are so many people sick and unhappy?
It's a great question. I believe what I've been through, the answer to that is because the great majority of time, medicine, self-help, psychology, personal development, they're great. But if you look at it, the great majority of times, they're really just dealing with outward symptoms, which is fine because you can mask those symptoms, you can deal with the symptoms. But at the end of the day, they really haven't gone all the way upstream to the source of the disconnection and the pain. And so we're masking symptoms, right? You have a headache, take an Advil, great. But why is that headache really happening? Divorce, addiction, depression, you name it. Those are symptoms, I would say outward symptoms of a core issue that you and I have discussed and believe there's a source of that pain.
Is it any different from physical pain? So you go to the doctor, your back is out of alignment and they want to do surgery, right? Mm-hmm. So they do surgery and they fuse your two vertebrae together. And then you wait 6 months and you're back on the operating table because guess what? They didn't go to the source of the pain. What's creating the pain in the first place? So I agree. And I think this is a huge, huge key to treating someone who has depression, anxiety, like you said, eating disorders, overweight, addictions, just on and on and on. Your book touches on this a lot. And one of the main things you talk about, let's just jump right into it, is love and oneness. What is love and oneness and how does it provide you happiness?
Great question. And to touch on what you were talking about from a physical standpoint, I'm not a doctor, right? My training's in marriage and family therapy. I was a chaplain in the Army. But from a physical standpoint, I want to be clear that I wholeheartedly believe in the medical community when it comes to trauma. Like if I'm having a heart attack or if I'm in a car accident, man, take me to the ER. And when it comes to acute immediate trauma, they're working miracles. And I love the medical community. But when you're talking about long-term health, be it your physical health or your spiritual, your emotional health, long-term, if you do the research, and my belief is health and wellness in every aspect of your life is not coming from those acute things, just mask the symptoms. So just to be clear, I'm not anti-medical community, but when it comes to long-term health, the science is indicating there's other ways to create long-term health that aren't just pharmaceuticals at it and that kind of thing. So, but back to your question.
Your book, The Answer, which we'll get to near the end on how the folks can get it. Your book talks a lot about love and oneness and how does it to provide us happiness?
It's a great question. So I'll start with a quick backstory. And you and I have had a very similar journey. We met several years ago through business and became colleagues, but went through a similar kind of dark night of our soul. And for me, about 4 years ago, I found myself sitting in Hawaii with the love of my life. My wife at the time literally ghosted. Like I looked down at my phone, I saw an Uber receipt. And although we were on vacation in Hawaii, she literally left the island. Not just left the island, left the marriage. And so I sat there and my background is in marriage and family therapy. I was a chaplain in the Army. I worked for Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi, a lot of these guys in the personal development. And I've been in the coaching space and entrepreneurial space. So I sat there and said, how does a guy with this kind of background find himself sitting here getting ghosted in Hawaii? And that question led me, number one, to raise my hand and ask for help. Number two, to surrender and start to seek answers. I never wanted to write a book. I never had the audaciousness to think I had answers for anyone else, but I was looking for answers for myself. And what I found is what you and I touched on, that most self-help, psychology, and religion are great. They're amazing. But most of the time, they're dealing with symptoms and they haven't gone all the way upstream. And so I just dug in deep, read hundreds of books, and found that really spirituality and science are converging in what I would call the truth. And when I say truth, there are very few fundamental laws. And one of the laws that I found whether you come from either side of the political aisle, doesn't matter your background, there is this idea of pure and perfect love. So I could be an atheist, right? And I could be very left-wing politically. And every atheist I know, I have siblings who are atheists, but they understand this concept and this emotion of perfect love, agape, highest level of love. Well, right. Every religious person, despite what religion they may come from, and again, I was a chaplain in the army, I've been in dozens of different denominations, but every religious person I know would at least give God, or this eternal essence or universe, whatever they call it, one of the attributes of God, perfect love. So I'm like, okay, perfect love from both sides of the aisle, science and spirituality are converging and saying, okay, perfect love is one of those foundational laws that exists everywhere. And then the only other law that I really found is this concept of oneness. Again, from a purely scientific standpoint, a scientist would say everything is energy, right? You start to break down, and quantum physics is very clear right now that everything breaks down into fluctuations of energy. So everything is energy from one side of it. And if you're looking at the other side of it, you're, again, deeply spiritual person, Buddha, Jesus, and spiritual masters thousands before those guys showed up were teaching this concept of oneness as well. So I'm like, okay, love and oneness. And I'm such a simple-minded guy. I'm like, let's just combine those terms and talk about love and oneness. And when you get centered in those laws, and I would say the only other law is really choice, right? Everybody has choice. But once you understand that and go all the way upstream and heal that disconnection from that source of perfect love and oneness where we all came from, then all these other techniques are amazing. Like all the psychology, all the personal development, they're amazing. They're great. But if you don't have that deep disconnection solved, then you're just masking symptoms. You're just putting out fires, right? Versus going all the way upstream. You solve that issue, which you and I have done in different methods, and there's other ways of going about it. But once you solve that, then all the techniques work. All the behavioral stuff, all the other stuff that you've learned from every legitimate psychologist or self-help or Tony Robbins, all those people are amazing. But if you don't solve that core issue, you're just masking the symptoms and it's going to come back around.
Amen. Just like the bad back, right? Bob Marley, one love. Anyway, so you said so much stuff in there. I mean, I could talk about just that couple paragraphs for, 24 hours. But it's incredible how similar our stories are, because my second wife, 30 days into COVID, woke up and said, I'm done. And 7 days later, pulled up a moving truck and boom, she was gone. Yeah. And I didn't go searching for answers because I was like, she's the problem. There's nothing wrong with me. I went and dated a bunch of people for a couple months and just did what most males do, or females. They blame the other party and then they go and they just recreate the same thing over and over and over again. That's why we have a 52% first divorce rate, a 60% second divorce rate, and a 72% third divorce rate, because it's always her problem. It's his problem. And in marriage counseling, all they do is talk about, better communication and be more affectionate and talk better and more date nights. And we both know that you can't do any of those things if you're fighting for your worthiness or if that pain, that ultimate source of pain, isn't healed.
Yeah. And I've definitely got that t-shirt. Having been through more than one divorce and actually having that master's degree in marriage and family therapy, having been a chaplain, dude, exactly what you, I've got that t-shirt. I've gone and done that as well. And this God-shaped hole inside of all of us. And again, it doesn't have to, some people are turned off by the term God. We'll call it something else, right? There's this eternal essence that's inside of us that's giving us this life force. And I mean, this Hawaii experience that I mentioned to you, it was so devastating to me because I had so much of my self-worth and so much of my ego wrapped up into this marriage and this public perception on Facebook of, oh, this amazing, gorgeous woman, and oh, you're so successful in business and you guys are amazing. And when that was ripped away, God's like, bro, I'm going to get your attention, right? And God's tempted many times. I got other stories where I tried to get my attention, but I finally surrendered. And I finally like, okay, because I'd made that same mistake. I tried to fill this God-shaped hole with all these other things. And there's not enough sex, alcohol, anything to fill that void. Now, all those things are beautiful. So I will never say having a glass of wine with a loved one isn't an amazing thing, but there's a difference between distraction and celebration. So you and I could be looking at a couple sitting there having a nice dinner, and if they're filled with love and they're truly connected at a deep emotional and spiritual level, and they're out having a nice dinner, you and I wouldn't be able to tell that because we only see the external. Conversely, there's a lot of people right now who are distracting themselves because they're so hollow, and you and I both know there's not enough money, there's not enough alcohol, sex to feel that. And so I don't want to disparage anybody for having a great sex life or, go and have a glass of wine and vacation, because those things are amazing if it's a celebration versus a distraction. And for me, the value was one more distraction. Hey, let's just keep trying to do more things to distract us from going in deep to the real issue.
Or it's an escape, right? We're either escaping or distraction. So when I look back at my business before I made this transformation, there was so much chaos in my business. I made 5 business mistakes that cost me $9 million. Why? Because I had to always be doing the next thing to make the millions of dollars so I could prove my worth. Now, since I've made the transformation, I don't need to go open 10 markets in a month, whatever silly thing it is. And now I'm focused on an impact, and now my business is really changing. So let's come back to the business is changing, because I know you have some thoughts on entrepreneurs, and I wanted to share something about, does happiness come after success or before success? So don't let me forget that. A really, really important way to happiness is how you react to life's events, right? So your wife literally got on a freaking plane and left you sitting on the beach in Hawaii. My wife at the time literally packed up her stuff too and left me. And at the time, you and I thought those were terrible events. Like, oh my God, how did this happen? For 45 days, I was in disarray. Now looking back, that wasn't a bad thing at all. And I think you would say the same thing. So this is how I live my life now. Nothing bad really happens, because it's all a lesson. It's all part of my story. It's all part of my journey. Whether I'm learning something in this life or a future life, I'm learning something. So when stuff happens to you, you can either fight it and you can be pissed off and you can be mad. It's still going to happen, and it's still already happened. So why not embrace it and just say, hey, is this really bad? How do I know? Because something good may come of it. For instance, if I'm single, I get in a car accident, I go to the emergency room, I go to the whatever. What if the nurse is my next wife? Like, that is how I look at things nowadays. And it's a much better way to look at life and live life.
100%. And Tony Robbins talks about what you believe your worst day can end up being your best day. And that I knew intellectually, but experientially, I know it now. And I've got a son that was diagnosed with autism. I look back at that night, horrible night. I bawled my eyes out that night. But now I look at him as a soon-to-be 18-year-old young man, a beautiful gift he's been. Other divorces, other things that have happened in my life. And like you said, this Hawaii experience, for damn sure, dude, it was not a fun experience. But I look back now, and the final gift that this woman gave me was a wake-up call. Like, dude, wake up. And that was a wake-up call. And so I'm grateful for it now, but not at the time.
Let's address, because this is where a lot of people beat themselves up. You had good reason to be in. And when I say that, I mean it that people are only those who are hurt. Hurt people hurt people. Damage people damage people. Sure. When you're listening to this show and you're like, I treat my wife terribly. I treat my son terribly. I do this, this, and this. I can promise you that if I could spend 10 or 15 minutes with you, I would trace that back to something that happened. So part of healing, part of finding happiness is having compassion for yourself so that you can have compassion for others. I can remember going through my transformation. A lady said to me, hey, you were a shitty father. And I was a single dad for 11 years. And I did everything for my kids. But my hurtness drove my son to be pressured to play golf. One thing that really helped me on my transformation, she goes, what else did you expect? You weren't the greatest father, but what else did you expect coming from where you came from? Look at your father. And when I heard that, I was just like, oh my gosh. So give yourself compassion, because it's going to be the only way that you can heal. If you want to keep beating yourself up about the bad father you've been, the bad mother you've been, how you've done this wrong, how you've been a bad spouse, you're never going to get there. You have to say, listen, there was a reason. And your conscious brain most likely doesn't even know the reason. That's why you need to work with someone who can actually get into your subconscious and figure out what are the behaviors, or what are the thoughts that are driving your behaviors? Because 90% of your behaviors are driven from your subconscious mind, and you don't even know it's happening.
For sure. And I love what you're saying. And in my book, I talk about forgiveness isn't necessary. And people are like, oh, dude, how does this chaplain say forgiveness isn't necessary? But what you're speaking about is a layer above forgiveness, which is understanding. So if somebody hurts you, right, if you have the understanding, okay, something's going on inside of their world. I don't know what it is, but it's only because there's hurt and pain going on inside of them. Well, now I'm coming from a level of understanding and have compassion and empathy for this person that's being an asshole towards me, because I know something's going on inside of them. That's where the masters get, the Buddhas and the Christ of this, you know, Jesus, because they had a level of understanding versus most of us at this level of like, oh, I got to forgive. And there's this energy towards, I got to forgive, I've got to forgive. Well, the reality is just take a deep breath and go a layer above that and have this understanding. And you're 100% right about this. This deep disconnection we have in this subconscious, and my bias, because I had a master's degree in marriage and family therapy, which is a offshoot of behavioral therapy, which basically a reaction to Freudian, right? And so I grew up in an environment where it was all about the outward external behaviors. And I became very good at looking at families and systems. I'm certainly good, like in my business consulting, I'm very good because I can watch the dance. Oh, the CEO does this and I see patterns, which is great. Again, that's kind of that symptom level. But I was very biased towards, I don't need to go talk about injury and I don't need to talk about my mom and I don't need to talk about if that happened when I was young. But what you said is absolutely true. And from an emotional and spiritual and scientific standpoint, they've shown that, you know, our brains aren't fully developed. Like we're basically in this theta state, right? So up till the age of 7, everything that we're absorbing is really going straight into our subconscious mind. And so these injuries that happen early on, be it from a parent, a pastor, politician, sibling, whatever it is, we come from this perfect source of love and we're these open conduits and we're just receiving everything and straight into our subconscious. And when shit happens early on, that sinks into our subconscious. And then like you said, 90, 95% of the time, that's what's driving the bus. And if you don't think your subconscious mind is driving the bus, I would invite you to consider right now, think about your heartbeat. Think about your breath. If you're sitting down, think about the seat against your butt. If you're standing up, think about your feet. Whatever you're doing, there's all these subconscious things that are happening you're not thinking about because you're not focused on it. And those subconscious things are truly driving the bus the majority of the time. And only focused on 5%. And so you and I both, and this is very typical of a lot of entrepreneurs, especially male entrepreneurs, as we're holding on to life and controlling that 5% and pushing hard, you will get a certain amount of success through grinding, control, blood, sweat, and tears. You can create success, no question about it. But at the end of the day, there's so much, there's flow, and there's this happiness you're talking about, or I would say joy that can come from letting go and not trying to control everything and tapping into the subconscious and rewiring yourself emotionally and spiritually to then solve some of these injuries that happen to all of us when we're early on. And once you get that subconscious and once you get back to this pure source of self-love, connecting to that which created us, dude, things just become better. And what you said, there's this acceptance. It's like, oh, well, that was to be expected, right? That's what masters say. Oh, well, that's interesting. That business partner lied and cheated and stole. Oh, this person left me. Oh, cancer showed up. Oh, autism showed up. Oh, the world's in chaos. And you'd have, you're deeply connected to everything because you have a deep care and concern, but you're not so obsessed with every little thing that happens. You kind of, you're able to take a step back and be like, oh, and observe. And you're disconnected spiritually and emotionally from the chaos that the world would have you be a part of, right?
That's great stuff. So you mentioned success. You can be successful as an entrepreneur. Success to me was always used to be tied to money. That's how our society deems success. And now my definition of success has completely changed. It has nothing to do with money because money can't bring you success. So Sean Anker has this amazing book on happiness, and he talks about, he's done all the research. And a lot of people think, I can be happy once I become successful, financially successful. And he took, I think it was eighth graders or college freshmen, he measured their happiness. And then he looked 18 years out, what was their earning potential? And there was a direct correlation between those who were happy as a college freshman and 18 years later. So in order to be successful financially, being happy is way, way, way more productive than not being happy. And I have seen in my transformation that my business, I've attracted a different type of people, a different type of person. Someone actually heard me on a podcast and was like, I want to come work for you. My team is different. I don't go into the office every day pushing people to make more money. I push people to make an impact. Like, how can I make an impact on my customers? How can I make an impact on my employees? And for instance, one of my first clients was an employee who was sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night, had terrible migraines and had terrible anxiety, and her relationship with her son and her husband were strained. Guess what? She had no idea. She just knew that she was in this terrible place. And she was like, this is how life is. After three sessions with her, she has been a completely different person. So think about that. If you own a business, how many of your employees are going through this misery? Don't even know there's an option out there. And there is an option. So no matter what you're going through, you do not have to suffer.
And so, I love what you're saying, because so much of the world, and especially as entrepreneurs and just in general, we're looking for that external answer, right? And the truth is, all change starts from the inside out. And so this, I want to make more money, I want to be in a relationship, I want to have the perfect body, those are all external things. But here's the cool thing that you and I have learned, really, Dr. Joe Dispenza was very helpful in some of his events and his books. Like, pick anything you want, right? For most people, it's like health, wellness, relationships, money, whatever it is. But I could have zero money in the bank right now. I could be single and not be in a relationship, and I could have cancer. But at this very moment, you and I both can close our eyes, take a deep breath, and whether you believe in meditation, prayer, whatever it is, we can connect to this source of abundance and pure love that's inside of us at any moment. And so you and I both learn, like, the secret is amazing and people love the secret, but here's the thought that we have goes out and creates a certain amount of energy, but it's that emotion that draws it to us. And so even though, and I would say it this way, if you can't sit on a beach and have zero money in the bank and not be in a relationship, and if you can't feel abundance, and if you can't feel that perfect source of love, I would submit to you, you're always going to be seeking for an external thing versus if I can sit my ass down in any moment, despite what's going on externally, and I can go internally and tap into this source of perfect love and abundance and feel that emotion, you are going to draw it to you, right? And from a scientific standpoint, you know, look up Bruce Lipton, look up Dr. Joe Dispenza. Scientifically, it's been proven that we can draw those things to us. And so it's an internal thing. And then the external shows up. It's just synchronicities show up. And you and I have talked about this as well. It's amazing the things that show up in your life when you're coming from that inward source of abundance. You feel connected, the people, the situations, because you're just in alignment versus always looking for, I want an external answer. I want a symptom resolution from the external. No, right now, anybody can sit down and tap into those highest level of emotions, no matter what is going on. I'm fighting a cold right now. The gal I'm dating, her and her kids are throwing up and they got the flu and all that. And I happened to hug her and I was like, I felt a little bit of the symptoms. I'm like, nope, not in my matrix. The 95% of the cells in my body are going to tell the other 5% are starting to feel this. And I, you know, sit in the sun and I meditate. And I'm not saying, you know, that's a complete answer, because I'm still finding some of those symptoms. But at the end of the day, tapping into that source of health and wholeness and oneness that we all have access to, that internal solution will naturally bring the external things without grinding and fighting. It's just flow. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, that's incredible. When you actually give up control and you seek self-love, like, all of the external things you want will actually come to you. So Dave, a month before your wife picked up and jumped on a jet and left you in Hawaii by yourself, if you would have been listening to this podcast and you heard the part that self-love is maybe the biggest component to pure happiness and freedom and joy, right? Yeah. Where'd you get that shirt?
He's got it from my brother, Brad.
He's holding up a shirt that says, love yourself. My shirt says the only diet that works is self-love. So we're in agreement that happiness and freedom really come from self-love. So yep. 30 days before your wife left you in Hawaii, if you were listening to this podcast, would you have said to yourself, well, I have self-love?
I would.
Me too. So tell me, because there's a lot of people that are going to be listening to this saying the same thing, because you and I said it. And when I tell people now this, and I say, hey, I teach self-love to find freedom, they're like, oh, I love myself. And then I look at their behavior, I'm like, no, you don't. If someone's listening right now, how do they know if they truly have self-love or not?
It's a great, great, great question. And I would say, I knew it intellectually, and I would have said exactly what you said. And for me, dude, I'm heart-centered now. And so for me, it's literally closing my eyes. And when I do that, right, whether you call it heart chakra, whatever you want to call it, spirit, God, when I connect to that now, I get emotional, right? And there's tears. And I would say that's the biggest thing. If you, and this distraction thing that you and I talked about is a big thing in this world, and busyness, people are addicted to busyness. If you can't sit down and be quiet, turn off your phone and get away from everything and just sit and feel that stillness. And I would say it's just an internal thing. So I can't tell anybody else if they have that, but I would say it's an internal answer and it's very much heart-centered. And for me, I didn't have that because I was intellectually trying to earn this love. And I came from a background, very conservative religious background. I had a near-death experience early on. And the interpretation of that near-death experience was, well, you're some special person, and so you've got to live up to the standard. So I always had this, I'm not worthy, and I've got to live up to this expectation I had. So I did all these things from, you know, getting a master's in marriage and family, from being a chaplain, and I was trying to earn all this versus just being like, you know what, dude, you are worthy. The source of perfect love is already inside of you, and we already have that. Everybody can close their eyes and take a deep breath, and whatever you call that, life force, whatever's giving you breath is already inside of you. So that's a very long-winded answer to say, if you can put your hand on your heart and you can close your eyes and take a deep breath, and there is an emotion, and I would say not just happiness, but there's a deeper joy and a sense of peace. And if you feel a connection to that, dude, that's good. And we can tap into that. And if you don't have that, I didn't have that 30 days prior to Hawaii. I didn't. It was intellectual, and I didn't experientially have that inside of me.
Yeah. So you mentioned distraction. So I'm going to add a couple of things to this. Like, how do you determine if you have self-love? And I'm going to tell you some of these things because I was the guy doing some of these things 2 years ago. Yeah. So if you drink too much, if you eat too much, if you gamble too much, if you work too much, if you find yourself judging people constantly, if you find yourself judging yourself constantly, if you have negative self-talk, if you're in a constant straight state of nervous energy or anxiety, or you're depressed, any of those things, self-destructive behavior shows that you don't love yourself. Yep. So all you have to do is look at relationships. Another huge one. Are you in a bad relationship? Have you been in bad relationships? Do they always start out good and then just fold? This is your brain doing its thing. It's supposed to be doing that. It's supposed to be finding you people that are not going to create you happiness, because your subconscious brain, its only point is to keep you alive. If you're in that situation, we can promise you that your life is affected probably in every single area of your life, in all of them, in business, health, relationships. And we're here to tell you, you don't have to suffer anymore. There's a different way besides traditional talk therapy. Dave has an amazing book. You can find it at dave.lundgren.com. Amazing book. And the actual answers to how you go from a state of lack of self-love, lack of self-compassion, which is killing you in so many ways, to what we've been able to find, which is I found my freedom. I literally was born again, literally and figuratively, because I now can be myself without needing to mask or prove to anyone that I'm a different person.
Yeah. And I love that. And here's the cool part. And I talk about this in my book, that individually, as you do this work, and you know, I call it reverse proofing. So if love and oneness, if that really is the key, and getting back to that understanding self-love and getting connected to that which created us is the answer, well, then the opposite of that would be what's causing all the problems. Well, look at society. I would say that separation and division is what's causing every economic and political issue we have. And for thousands of years, that's been the case. So how do you control a population of 7 billion people? Fear, and tell them they're divided. Divided by race, divided by gender, divided by political, whatever it is, keep them divided and keep them scared, and then you can control them. Versus, no, the reality is we all came from the same source, and inside we're all this may look different, different genders and different colors, but and
we're
that's a beautiful
one.
Thing.
We're
yeah, but at
one.
The end of the day, all of us, you cut us open, and we all look the same, and we all came from the same place. We're all going to the same place. And so I call it reverse proofing, like my kid in algebra, right? If you can do a formula forwards and backwards, it's true. So if love and oneness at the highest level is the answer, well, then separation and division is what's causing the challenges. And if you look at every corrupt government and religion, when it's done poorly, every one of them and the dogmatic organizations, dude, they're falling away, because that's the only way they can maintain control is through corruption and through governments and religions telling you, no, you're separate from that which created you, or you're all separate and we need to start wars and fight each other to keep you all distracted, instead of everybody just being like, you know, at the end of the day, we are sovereign. We are sovereign spiritually. We are sovereign emotionally, and we can become sovereign economically, and then corrupt governments and corrupt religions fall away. And that's all the turmoil everybody sees. Everybody's like, I sit back and I'm like, dude, it's beautiful. We're in the middle of this cocoon. Or if you look at a seed that's been planted, it looks like a fucking explosion. It might be ugly, but on the other side of that. And so we're in this turmoil in social media and technology or just amping it up. But it's a beautiful thing, because on the other side of it, as these dogmatic, archaic organizations fall away, there's another level in evolution for all of us and our entire species, I believe, to decentralize all of it. We're going to decentralize a lot of these organizations and get back to a deeper connection. It's inevitable. It might get ugly before it gets better, but it's inevitable for us.
So aren't we all just souls looking for love? If you can look at another human being as instead of a different race or a different political affiliation, they're really just a soul looking for love. And when people are mean and nasty, they're hurt and they just need love. And you get to respond in one of two ways. You can respond in love, or you can respond in fear, ego, and just keep the cycle going. So Dave, you mentioned a lot about oneness. You mentioned a lot about your essence, connecting to your essence. And I think it's really important to leave, as we wrap up here, two thoughts. I'm going to share this thought about who you were as a child, and then I'm going to ask your opinion on if someone is struggling, what are the next couple steps they can take to radically transform their life in a matter of, you know, weeks or months and not years. But if you think about it, when you were 2 years old, 3 years old, and you were your pure essence, there was no, I'm not affectionate. Every kid's affectionate. You put your arm around strangers, you play with strangers, you kiss strangers. There's no prejudice. There's no judging other people. You can sing and dance anywhere you want. Like, that is who you are at your core. Yeah. Through the childhood trauma, you have had these filters and these barriers placed on your heart that have caused you to have all these distractions and fight with your wife and just drink too much, smoke too much, whatever it is. But that isn't who you truly are. Who you truly are is the person you were made to be. The great thing is, these were all learned behaviors. The only fears we were born with are fear of falling down and fear of loud noises. Everything else we created. So if we created these behaviors, we can uncreate these behaviors. For sure. And Dave and I are living proof. We struggled mightily. We had a lot of bad things in our life, both relationships and business happen. And now we're in a completely different place. We went through very similar paths. You can do the same thing. So Dave, if someone's listening to this and they've just listened to those questions we have about self-love and they're like, oh my gosh, I don't have that much self-love. I do see how it's impacting. I do want to change. What do they do?
It's a great question. Raise your hand, right? All change starts with honesty. Joe Polish taught me that. So being honest with yourself and saying, you know what? And when I'm sitting by myself and I'm quiet, and I will tell you, having been around high-level billionaires, having been around people, the great majority of folks literally are not at peace. So you may see this person on social media, he's a billionaire. Oh, am I going to? At the end of the day, when you can't sit alone and be quiet and turn everything off, if you can't find that inner peace, or you don't have that inner peace, which most people don't, I would say raise your hand and get help. And specific to what Brad's talking about is understanding, going back to those core injuries that happened. There was a time I worked with Kevin Wheeler right after Hawaii. I raised my hand, reached out to a colleague, a buddy of ours, Chris Arnold, and Chris was like, dude, you got to call Kevin. And the work I did with Kevin, there was one session where he literally went back to some of that injury I had when I was younger, and things shifted inside of me, and I got rid of that shame and that guilt, and I felt that connection again. And it literally was one session. Not that life was perfect after
that.
That's
exactly what happened to me. Three hours changed my life. Everything. So if you guys are ready to change, we don't care if you work with us or not. Honestly, all we want to do is for you to experience the freedom and joy and love that we have right now. Whether it's us or someone else, just go to somebody. But there is help. And it doesn't have to be a Tuesday morning for the next 10 years that you go to your therapist. It doesn't have to be that way. I did it for 30 years. I don't know how many years you did it for. It didn't work for me, and it doesn't work for a lot of people. So there is a different way out there. If we can be of help, you can see us. You can follow me and find all my contact information at bradchandler.com/contact. Dave can be found at dave@dave-lundgren.com. And if you like this podcast and you want to share and spread this light and love, please subscribe, follow me, give me a nice rating, give me a nice review, and share it. And we'll have many, many podcasts to come where we teach people how to be happy, because there is a proven method for happiness and freedom, and you deserve it. Dave, that was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.